Alleluia, Christ is risen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Gracious and glorious God, you have chosen us as your own, and by the powerful name of Christ, you protect us from evil. By your Spirit, transform us and your beloved world, that we may find our joy in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated.
Reading from Acts. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers. Together, the crowd numbered 120 persons and said, "Friends, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit through David foretold concerning Judas, who became a guide for those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered among us and was allotted his share in this ministry. So one of the men who have accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us to his resurrection." So they proposed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was also known as Justus, and Matthias. Then they prayed and said, "Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place." And they cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was added to the 11 apostles. Word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 1 responsively. Happy are they who have not walked in the counsel of the wicked, nor lingered in the way of sinners, nor sat in the seats of the scornful. They are like trees planted by streams of water, bearing fruit in due season, with leaves that do not wither. Everything they do shall prosper. It is not so with the wicked. They are like chaff. For the wicked shall not stand upright when judgment comes, nor the sinner in the counsel of the righteous.
For the Lord knows.
Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning. A reading from 1 John. If we receive human testimony, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God, that he has testified to his Son. Those who believe in the Son of God have the testimony in their hearts. Those who do not believe in God have made him a liar by not believing in the testimony that God has given concerning his Son. And this is the testimony. God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. Word of God, word of life.
The Gospel according to John, the 17th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus prayed, "I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you, for the words that you gave to me I have given to them. And they have received them and know in truth that I come from you. And they have believed that you sent me. I'm asking on their behalf. I'm not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and all yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name that you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost except the one destined to be lost, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. Now I am coming to you, and I speak these things in the world so that they may have joy made complete in themselves. I've given them your word, and the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, so that they may also be sanctified in truth. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
Christ is risen. Alleluia.
Christ is risen.
I want to begin this morning by proclaiming loudly and boldly, without reservation or concern of judgment, that I like a genre of movies called chick flicks. You know, those movies that they're love stories, and the guy always gets the girl in the end, or the girl always gets the guy in the end. The ones where there's hardly any doubt that the end is going to work out for the better. But getting there is not always the easiest, necessarily. I love those feel-good movies that give us idealized versions of love. I like reading stories about love as well. I like those love stories that you don't really need to explain love. You don't need to have a definition of love. It just captivates you, and it captures that essence of love. I read this one story. One day I was sitting in a park, and I was eating a sandwich for lunch when an elderly couple pulled their car up to a nearby oak tree. They rolled down the windows, turned up jazz music on the radio. Then the man got out of the car, walked around to the passenger side, opened the door, took out her hand, and helped her out of her seat. Guided her 10 feet away from the car, and they slow danced for the next half an hour under the oak tree. It's those stories that you don't need to explain. You just know that it's a love. It's not just romantic love stories that I like to watch or read. I like reading and watching any stories about love. There's this one story about a father and a son. It started in Winchester, Massachusetts, 43 years ago, when Rick Hoyt was born. Somehow his umbilical cord became wrapped around his neck, leaving him brain damaged and unable to control his limbs. The doctors told Rick's parents that he would be a vegetable for the rest of his life. But Dick Hoyt, Rick's father, didn't believe it. He noticed the way Rick's eyes followed him around the room. When Rick was 11 years old, they took him to the engineering department at Tufts University and asked if there was anything to help the boy communicate. No way. There was nothing going on in his brain, they told him. Tell him a joke, Dick countered. And they did. And Rick laughed. Turns out there was a lot going on in his brain. They rigged up a computer that allowed him to control the cursor by touching a switch with the side of his head. And Rick was finally able to communicate. His first words? Go Bruins. After a high school classmate was paralyzed in an accident, And the school had organized a charity run for him. Rick pecked out, "Dad, I want to do that." Yeah, right. How was Dick, a self-described porker who never ran more than a mile at a time, going to push his son 5 miles? Still, he tried. "Then it was me who was handicapped," Dick says. "I was sore for 2 weeks." That's the day that Rick's life changed. "Dad," he typed, "when we're running, it feels like I wasn't disabled anymore." And that sentence, it changed Dick's life. He became obsessed with giving Rick that feeling as often as he could. He got into such hard belly shape that he and Rick were ready to try and run the 1979 Boston Marathon. "No way," Dick was told by a race official. The Hoyts weren't quite a single runner, and they weren't quite a wheelchair competitor. So for the first few years, Dick and Rick, they just joined the massive field and ran it anyway. Later, they would find a way to get into the race officially. In 1983, they ran a marathon so fast that they made the qualifying time for the Boston Marathon the following year. Somebody then said, "Hey, why not a triathlon?" How's a guy who's never learned to swim and hadn't ridden a bike since he was 6 years old going to haul a 110-pound kid through a triathlon? Still, Dick tried. And now they've done, when this story was written, 212, including 15, including 4 grueling 15-hour Ironman competitions in Hawaii. When Dick and Rick finished their 24th Boston Marathon, he was 5,083rd place out of more than 20,000. This was done by a guy who was pushing another man in a wheelchair. I love to hear and read love stories. Whether it's this newfound love, whether it's love that has stood the test of time, or love that a parent has for his child. I love to get caught up in the stories for a little while. Especially the ones that we've listened to today. And I think this is exactly what's going on when we hear the gospel message today. The gospel, the reading, it begins in the middle of Jesus praying. In the prayer, we get a special glimpse of the love shared between Father and Son. We get to see how we, as disciples, are caught up in the story of God's love for humanity, expressed in sending His Son to die for our sins. So when we look at the gospel today, let's see it through the eyes of love. To add a little context to this reading, this prayer is situated in the gospel right after Jesus had just finished washing his disciples' feet, Maundy Thursday. When the prayer concludes, he will be betrayed. Jesus knows he's going to the cross, and the disciples will be left to continually tell the story of love revealed in Jesus from God. Jesus knows what's about to transpire, and so what does he do? He prays for his disciples. Jesus begins his prayer by telling the Father that he has remained faithful to the task that he has been given. He has revealed the character of God and God's love by revealing his name, the scripture says. He says, "I have made your name known to those whom you've given me." When you're revealing somebody's name, you are telling them what their attributes are. And in John's gospel, to know Jesus is to know God. The second part of the prayer is that the Father has given disciples to Jesus to reveal this character. We must remember that we are part of this love story. That God loved the world that he gave his only son. We as disciples are caught up in this story between father and son. And the disciples know it. They know that the relationship of the father and the son is so close and so intimate that everything, as the scripture says, all yours are mine, and all mine is yours. And they share everything. And in this divine sharing, Jesus prays for those whom he loves. He prays for the disciples, their impending mission, because he loves them. There are times when my son Isaac, he's sleeping on me. He'll fall asleep in my arms. And I'm afraid to put him down. Because if I put him down, he will wake up. It's the sleeping position I like to call the grenade. Because if you put him down, he will go off. So there's times when he's sleeping on me. And I'll put my hands on him. And I'll pray. I'll pray that he is faithful to Christ in his life, that he'll be surrounded by a community that shows him God's love. I pray that he would be protected from evil and harm, and I also pray that God would continually set him apart, make his life holy, so that if God shows him love, he shows love to others. And I think, whether consciously or unconsciously, this prayer is the prayer that anybody who loves anybody else prays for their loved one. And that's the prayer that we read today. Jesus prays they would be one. Having a community of people to share your faith with is vitally important to the disciples of Jesus. It's important to belong to a community that tells and retells the stories of faith. It's important to belong to a community that is proclaiming God's redemption in Christ and holds fast to him in the bread and the wine. It's easy. It's so easy to be divisive. The easiest way to set yourself apart from someone is to be critical of the person next to you. We see it in politics all the time. Churches are constantly dividing in protest of whatever that church is doing. Unity is hard for the church. Community is hard for the church. I love that the ELCA is constantly trying to build bridges to other denominations. We are in full communion partnerships with Episcopalians, Presbyterians, Methodists, the Reformed Church of America, and the Moravians. If you scratch your head about the Moravians, I don't know much about them either. Ask Pastor Marone, I'm sure she does. Jesus prays for his disciples to be one. And that's the continuing prayer of our church. But Jesus doesn't stop there. He prays, I ask that you protect them from the evil one. Some versions say, from evil. What a timely prayer. There is so much evil in this world. Just like divisiveness is a problem in the church, so evil is ever present with us. I don't pray for my son not to encounter evil, but to be protected from it. To see it when it occurs, to fight against it where he can. Being protected from evil means that we have the eyes to see and the hearts not to give into it. Being protected from evil means that we don't become evil ourselves, because evil lurks all about us. And the church desperately needs to be protected. Jesus then prays, sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth. Jesus not only wants protection for his disciples, but progression in their faith. Jesus wants them to be continually set apart for the work of the kingdom. Holiness is the constant affirmation that God is God and we are not. It's the continual denial of the self and recognition that God rules our life. Holiness is recognizing that we can't do anything to save ourselves and have faith that Jesus has done everything for us. Love is what guides the prayers we heard of Jesus today. Jesus knows that the disciples are going into the world to spread the good news, and so he prays. He prays for his disciples. Out of love for God and humanity, he prays for their unity, for their protection, for their holiness. Out of love for the world, he sends his disciples into the world to tell this good news, knowing that one day every knee will bow at the throne of God. So, brothers and sisters, may you be unified in your faith in God. May you be protected from evil. May you always seek holiness. And may love be the ever-guiding principle of your lives. Amen.